Jay Caulfield, Stanley Cup champion. Who's the greatest brother combination in hockey history, or father-son? The Howes, Jay?
Well, father-son, you would have to say, you would have to go with the Howes, and I think brother combination would be, I mean, you got to lean towards the Sutters, right? Or is there Stahl? My God. Stahl,
there you go. Yeah.
Then the Sutters. Now you have the Hughes kids coming up. There's a number of them, but I think the first family of it, as far as brothers are concerned, and you might look at the Sutters initially just for what they've, you know, all they accomplished. I would look that way.
I just thought of a couple of others. Daniel, the
Primo.
Sedins. The Sedins and also the Stastnys.
There were
three of them. You played against them, right?
Yeah, but look at the ones. I'm going by the guys who won the most. The Sutters probably won the most cups, correct? Probably.
Sure. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm just thinking others have popped up here.
I think the Sedin thing, I think that's still an amazing. If you ever watch, there's videos out about them, how when they're on the bench, their actions are almost identical, and then how their numbers are so close to, you know, it's amazing to me. They're twins, and their numbers are almost identical over their whole career. It's kind of wild.
I mean, I didn't realize all this in hockey. What about as far as father and son, the Hulls, for God's sakes? And then, listen to this, Jay.
Yeah.
The Cooks. There's many fans may not realize, I'm reading off a website here, that Bill and Bun Cook of Ontario had a brother, Bud, who played in the NHL. Ron, are you any relation to the Cook hockey players?
Not related to the hockey players.
Bun Cook?
No, I'm not related
to
Bun.
I didn't know that. Very good.
Me neither. And they won cups together.
Is it related to Dick Sisler? Or anything else with that?
No. There's Dick Sisler and his brother George Sisler. Ron won't acknowledge them as an all-time great brother
combination.
Not until
you call them by the right name.
Sorry, Bentleys also.
Bring that back up. Yeah, thanks, Jay.
What about
You're
the
welcome.
Espositos,
You're
for
welcome.
God's sakes, Jay? Phil and Tony.
I know. No,
that's
I,
another great one.
Phil Esposito was my first coach in the NHL in New York, and Tony was the GM that I had here. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing. I mean, to have one person in your family be in a professional sport is amazing, but to have the brothers and what a number of family members in it, it's kind of amazing, and because everybody realizes how hard it is to get to that point, but to have multiple family members in it, it's pretty special for all those guys involved in it. And just like you, like, I mean, look no further than like in football with J.J. Watt, and then his brother comes here. I mean,
yep.
T.J.'s here, but I would never have been surprised if somebody eventually said, hey, J.J. Watt's coming out of retirement just to play 1 year with his brothers in Pittsburgh. I know that seems like it's not going to happen, but wouldn't that be kind of wild, right?
Wild. Jay, I don't know if I ever asked you, did you have siblings?
Yeah, I have two brothers and a sister. So I have brothers my brothers were more base. He started the hockey stuff when I was in high school in Philly. He started our program, but he was a baseball player. And he has boys that play baseball still now. Like one went to play at UNC on a scholarship. Mm. The other one's at Monmouth in New Jersey. They're both infielders. So they're still playing ball, and a sister and a younger brother out in Philly.
All right, Jay, what do you make of this Tristan Jarry situation? Before we talk about the game last night, that was bizarre.
Yeah.
He showed up and he got hurt sometime between the morning practice and showing up for the game. And to me, this is maybe a one-day thing, although they called up Tokarski today, which tells me that Jarry probably won't be ready tomorrow night in Washington. This, to me, is a potentially really damaging situation.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on. I would have preferred to hear that he was under the weather and just wasn't feeling well before, you know, something like that. Everybody was scrambling a little bit for what was going on or what's any explanation. But, yeah, I mean, if it's anything, first of all, you don't want to be labeled fragile either. You don't want to have that, you know, I'm not sure what's going on with that. So until we hear a little bit more about it, but you don't want to have him be out for any kind of long term at all. And I'm not sure I'm not sure what it is, but it was a strange situation. And we kind of talked about it last night in a joking way, but not really. Mike Chiasson is the emergency goalie, and, you know, he obviously has to represent both teams. And this was the first time I've ever been around a game where both your backup goalies were not, one of the two were not available on both sides.
wait a second. Pardon me for my ignorance here. So the emergency goalie is a stand-in for both sides. Is he just sitting there watching?
I think he has to be a stand-in for both sides.
That's unbelievable. So he just is he sitting there watching the game with no equipment, or what is he doing? And who is this guy?
That's what we kind of joked about. Well, listen, maybe that's changed. We were talking about it last night and saying, yeah, he had one Florida Panther sock on and a Penguin sock on the other side. I mean, seriously, we should probably relook that up. I mean, because you think you should have an emergency goal that's always there, but they don't take that on the road. You know what I mean? So Mike Chiasson is the Penguins' emergency goalie. And I think if we look it up, and probably should do that, you don't take an emergency guy on the road with you. So it's in the building. And I think he would have to present, which would be a really odd situation. I don't think it's come up yet, but that's what he would have to do. And with Spencer Knight not available, they went back to Lions, so they only have one guy. And Penguins. So maybe, Ron, maybe we get the information before we get off the air.
Well, Spencer Knight was in uniform. Spencer Knight was in uniform last night. He was there on the ice.
Somebody said he wasn't.
No, he was there. I always go before I go to all the games, and I always go down to where the visitors end, and I stand in the runway and watch them during the pregame. Spencer Knight was definitely there last night.
Oh, so we didn't see him. So when I'm doing pregame, I'm in the front of the building, so I didn't see warm-up. So we were told that he wasn't available either.
He might not have been. They might not have wanted him to play, but he was in uniform.
Yeah, that's kind of. Well, listen, if that's the case, good, that's good. But it's still, it's never. It was rare because the guy Lion played the night before. It was supposed to be Spencer Knight. So, what happened there? They felt he was unavailable as well. That was the only news that we had. But the fact of the matter is, both guys, you know, they turned to the next option. And everybody caught off guard by it. I'm sure Lyon as much as anybody else as well, because he was not expected to play. And then Casey DeSmith caught off guard also. And I kind of use the analogy, hey, sometimes that can be a good thing, right? You're not thinking all day about it. You jump into action and you go from there. Last night it didn't play out.
It wasn't a good thing. Jay, what did you make of that game last night? I didn't like it. I liked the way they played in New Jersey, even though they got beat in overtime, gave up a goal in the first minute. I just don't think you can – I don't know. What did you make of the game last night?
Yeah. I don't think. The games have been, starting with the two games against Ottawa. Ottawa is really skilled. I mean, I don't think anybody gets, you know, we don't pay as much attention to Ottawa. But when they came into town, they had 6 points. Now they lost one. That Norris is out again for the rest of the year. That impacts them. But they had skill up front, and they created a lot of opportunities. Then I looked in the last night, and I believe I even mentioned probably in my in between periods would say it's something that Mike Sullivan's not going to be happy about, but what he's going to like is the pushback. We'll always say that. They came back. They were down 2-0. They couldn't let it get to 3. Raquel gets the next one. Then they tie it. Then they get the lead. But then it goes back and forth. Yeah, you're not going to like how you get a lead, you give it up. You get a lead, you give it up. But he's going to love the battle back part of it. I think the opportunities, I think the turnovers in the neutral zone, the giveaways, that stuff that – They'll go through that, and they won't be happy with those kind of things. But you're going to like that your special teams rebounded. You're not going to like you had a shorthanded goal against. So it's 50-50. Pushback, special teams, you produced on your power play. You gave up one. You had a shorthanded goal you gave up. You won the special teams battle, but still things you won't like about it. And I think the opportunities that you're giving up to a team, the Penguins you don't want to play that way, to your point, Ron. You don't want to be playing that way going in to when you start facing the heavy teams. Florida's been not having the year they need, but they've been playing better over the last month, and their power play's been better over the last month. But still, it's not the kind of game you want to see. But it's certainly entertaining for anybody that's involved in it. I think goaltenders don't want to see this type of game. I think Casey DeSmith, that he had a battle. After that first period, especially the way the third goal was scored, that was a regroup moment for him, that he had to come out and be the better goalie the rest of the way. And luckily he was one better than the other guy.
Real quickly before I throw you back to Joe here, our friend Matt Wenzel, who covers the team from the Post-Gazette, texts me, Jari is out through the break. So that means he'll miss the next couple of games anyway, which probably makes sense. You know, let him have that all period. Jay, I don't think they can win without him. We saw this last year. They couldn't win. And the year before, he wasn't on his game and they couldn't win. Man, that's a potentially serious thing for me.
Yeah, it just depends what, like, I mean, he came back from the last injury, comes right in and was really good, right, as we know, really good. And then to see that happen yesterday, whether that's the same thing that flared up, I'm not sure. But, again, until we know, you're right, Ron, I mean, that won't be good. You know, the only good thing about it is the trade deadline hasn't passed. But the fact that it matters, what's out there that's better than what the Penguins have had? Well, Jari's got to be your number one. DeSmith, I think that was – he got thrust into the fire and just wasn't – the moment, it just wasn't right. It just didn't play out well last night for him, but he had a battle. He's been good. He's been good as the backup and when he's had to be in there. And he just hasn't had his go his way. Something gets by him and he ends up on the downside. But he's a battle. He's going to be – he's been great. He'll be great as a backup and do that. But I think that's a – they watched that last night. And when you watch it, and it's professional sports, it's the way it goes. When you see that, if there's any long-term thing potentially with Jari – then the trade deadline hasn't come here yet, and they'll address it. That's what would have to happen. If that's, you don't want to go down the path of what you did when you were the better team in the playoffs last year, and you got beat by your two goalies going down, then going to your third, and they fell. They upgraded that with Tokarski, but you can't have you can't be facing that same type of thing right now with the timeline of this team.
Jay, I thought you would enjoy the game last night. You came into the league in 86 with the Rangers. That was a game right out of the 80s. It was a game like you probably played with the Milton Flyers back in 79 when you put up 45 points in 42 games.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. My first junior experience. There you go, Joe. So if I tell you, so that's just west of Toronto, Milton. Milton's just west of Toronto. And when you look at those games, I do think, I mean, the entertainment factor is there, but the way, I think it's, yeah, you know what? You know, it's just a wild thing. I think the pushback, I think you just look at that. There's going to be games throughout the year that some teams are going to have that kind of night. And I think that's how Mike Sullivan will look at it, but they're not going to like how it just got careless a little bit. And it was careless in the neutral zone, like the shorthanded goal, a pass cross ice gets picked off. That's the part that they won't like. And then, I know last night, Joe, I even mentioned, like, hey, you know, one of the goaltenders, they have to make a save. Like, they got to make a save for their team. And if you get those saves, maybe, you know, it doesn't get to that number, but it was free and big-time plays by players, and you move on. So there's a part to like, Joe, and then there's a part that the coaching staff won't want to see in today's game, in this world.
Jay, before we let you go, I got to ask you, Rick Tocchet gets a job in Vancouver. I know how close you are to him. Did you get a chance to talk to him, and what do you think his chances are in Vancouver?
Well, I think, we've talked over the number of months, and it's this kind of thing has been going on for a while. That's why, first of all, I'll say how that was handled in Vancouver might have been one of the second worst removals of a coach that you've seen, right? In professional, it's not a good move. It's almost like what they did to the Florida Gerard Gallant in Florida when that happened to him. Right, that was a bad move. This was handled badly, but that's separate from him. This is a great opportunity for him. I think this is the first time, Ron, he's going to a team that has talent that, you know, he can look down the bench now and say, "Hey, I need one. We're trailing," and he can look down his bench and go, "Okay, I want either Peterson or I want JT Miller or I want Bo Horvat until they make a decision with us." But Brock Besser, they've got skill. They got Hughes on the blue line. Does he have the goaltender that he needs to have? It's all those things. And he'll form his team to what he's going to expect. And hardworking, he has respect as soon as he walks in the door. Just be what he's done in his career, what he's won, and the most recent coaching that he did with the Penguins. So to me, I think it's a great opportunity, and I think he can be successful. Then they had a great night last night, but they played Chicago, and everybody knows that first game. But they were, when I watched it, I was following. They were out shooting Chicago 38-10, and it was still 2-2. I'm certainly glad he got the win last night in his first game. And it's great for him. And again, Joe, both you guys, he would always pass on his best. He's always enjoyed talking to you, and you know that, Ron. And I think he's going to do great out there. It's going to be interesting what his final coaching decisions are and what he has to say about personnel. But I do think there has to be a communication between the GM and the coach so it moves smoothly. And that was certainly not going on there before. And they made a change, and I think Tock's the perfect person to kind of straighten out whatever's going on. And certainly they looked that way last night.
Jay, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week.
OK,
Okay, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Jay.
That's the great Jay Caulfield coming up next.
I loved you bringing up his history. He loved it, too.
Yeah, 45 points in 42 games.
You would not think of him doing that.
He did it.
That's amazing. He loved talking about that.
He sure did. Milton Flyers he played for.